is Christian Questions.
George Clooney once said, "You never really learn much from hearing yourself speak." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And folks, we're truly glad you've chosen to spend some time with us here on this fine Sunday morning. So, Jonathan, what's up? We got a really unique one this morning, don't we?
We certainly do, Rick. Our question this morning is, what do selfies say about us? And our theme text is found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing for selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves.
So we're going to talk about selfies. Now, can you do a two-hour Christian radio program about selfies?
That's the question, Rick.
And the answer is, stay with us and find out. Selfies, a modern-day phenomena of simplicity and ease. The concept actually is really very simple. Take pictures of yourself so the world can see you as you choose for it to see you. I mean, what could be wrong with that? After all, it is your life and you should have control over it, right?
Right.
As with any luxury of life, there's usually a basic thread of goodness somewhere within it. But as with any luxury of life, that thread of goodness can usually be overrun by excess and pride. Do selfies represent this excess and pride? And if so, how do we reset ourselves back to a clearer reality? Hashtag like, stay with us and find out. I think we might have some fun with this morning, Jonathan.
Yes, for sure. Very unique idea.
Yeah, well, you know what? This wasn't my idea. Over the Christmas holiday, you know, we had, you know, family come and stay with us, and we had my niece Jamie and my sister Joy, you know, with us, and my daughters were there, and we were all talking. We were talking about the radio program, and somebody started talking about selfies. And my daughter, Amy, actually said, "So, Dad, why don't you do a program on selfies?"
Oh, my. Amy, thanks a lot.
So I thought, you know what? That's a really good idea. And then I was talking to them about, you know, I might need you guys to do some selfies for me, you know, so I can make it easier and all of that. Anyway, so that's why we're doing this program. Thanks to...
So we're going to see them on Rewind, I bet.
Yeah, I did ask them to do some selfies for us just to demonstrate the technique.
Okay.
And rumor has it there may be a selfie of you and I on there, too. I don't know.
Ooh.
I'm not sure about that yet.
No.
Anyway, let's get started with this. I want to go to a quick part of a music video thing from a group that I never heard of and frankly don't really want to hear of anymore after this, called the Chainsmokers, and it's about selfies. I'm not even sure the name of the song, but I'm sure a lot of you out there know it.
When Jason's at the table, I kept on seeing him look at me while he's with that other girl. Do you think he was just doing that to make me jealous? Because he was totally texting me all night last night. So, like, what do you think? Did you think that girl was pretty? How did that girl even get in here? Do you see her? She's so short and that dress is so tacky. Who wears Cheetah? It's not even summer. Why does the DJ keep on playing Summertime Sadness? After dinner in the bathroom, but first, let me take a selfie.
All right. So what do you think of that?
Oh, my. Interesting.
Well, and, you know, it's this stream of consciousness about what's around the individual doing the talking.
There's a lot of judgment going on here.
And there's a lot of judgment going on there. But the bottom line is, after all of these questions and all of the judgment, but first, let me take a selfie. So, and I think that helps to put this in perspective. What are we dealing with when we deal with this idea of selfies? Because they're incredibly popular. They're everywhere. So, a little bit about selfies, Jonathan. Let's do a little bit of background research, if you will. This was from an article on the website for businessinsider.com.
A new study has revealed how people in different cities take snaps of themselves, researchers working on a project called Selfie City analyzed 656,000 Instagram photos from cities like New York, Moscow, Berlin, Bangkok, and Sao Paulo between December 4th and 12th, 2013, Wired reports. Then the researchers identified which of these photos were selfies and made best guesses as to the age and gender of the person who took them before analyzing the images. Women in New York prefer the subtle head turn, just a hint of profile.
The subtle head turn. Okay.
Over the dramatic ear to shoulder head tilt, seen in so many selfies taken in Brazil.
Okay, so you got the subtle head turn versus the dramatic ear to shoulder head tilt.
There's differences here.
Yes, there are. I'm glad to know this.
Women's selfies show more expressive poses. For instance, the average amount of head tilt is 50% higher than for men. 12.3 degrees versus 8.2
degrees. They're measuring the degrees of the head tilt.
But Sao Paulo is most extreme. There, the average head tilt for females is 16.9 degrees, researchers report.
So, and I had to read through this entire article to believe that we're researching.
There's science behind this.
There is the science of selfies, and we're going to be sort of visiting some of the science of selfies as we go through this. But it's an amazingly popular and large phenomenon in our world here. The idea of selfies. So, as we go through that, let's go to another soundbite. Now, this is from Rhett and Link. We've gone to them before.
Yes, we have.
They have an internet program, and this particular program is called Good Mythical Morning, and they're just talking about some statistics and viewpoints on selfies. And actually, I found the article that they're quoting. I just thought it would be more amusing to hear it from them rather than quote it ourselves.
Sounds good.
So let's listen to these guys.
There is a professor, Mark R. Leary. He's a professor of neuroscience at Duke University in Durham, North Carolina. He says, by posting selfies, people can keep themselves in other people's minds. Through the clothes one wears, one's expression, staging of the physical setting, and the style of the photo, people can convey a particular image of themselves, presumably one they think will garner social rewards. So in other words, you're investing into your social persona by staging everything in the right way, getting the angle just right, and taking selfies. That's why people take selfies, even if they don't know it.
So what he's saying is the idea is to gain social points, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So you stage things to look just right. So the idea of let me take a selfie is such an important aspect of this thing. So folks, if you have a thought. You have a thought on selfies. Look, we all have thoughts on selfies. I mean, are you a selfie fanatic? Do you like selfies? Can you not stand selfies? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And if you have any questions about our subject, give us a call or ask your questions at christianquestions.com or go to our Facebook or email us at rick@christianquestions.net.
So, Jonathan, let's go through and get a little bit of a scriptural perspective.
Yes. Thank you, brother.
Where did the seeds of selfiness come from? It's not a word I know,
okay.
but I just made it up.
All right.
Let's look at 1 John 2:15-17.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
So it's talking about three things, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And it's basically saying that sin is formed through these three things or any combination of these three things.
Yes, and Satan, as we know, Lucifer, he was the founder of these things.
Yes, he was. He absolutely was. When he wanted to ascend to God's throne, to be like God, you have all three of those things listed in his desire.
Yes.
So he was, you're right, the father of selfiness.
Yep.
And what happened is his fathering selfiness, he was able to pass it on to the world of mankind. And the way he did it was through Eve, actually. If we look at Genesis 3:4-7, that gives us a sense of what happened there. And if you pay close attention, you're going to see these three things crop up in this particular circumstance.
The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings.
So there are three aspects in this Genesis 3, 4-7 section, Jonathan. What are they?
Well, the first, Rick, is they saw that the tree was good for food.
There's the lust of the flesh, food. You know, to feed.
Sure.
The desire of the flesh can be physical or mental.
Absolutely.
So there, what you have that aspect.
The second, that it was a pleasant to their eyes. Look good.
The desire of the eyes, obviously. Mm-hmm. And the third?
A tree to be desired to make one wise.
The pride of life.
Uh-huh.
And so you see, the idea of selfies is very much along these kinds of lines. It's about me. It's about staging me, making me look better than I really do look. Now, look, all of us want to look better than we look.
Yeah, for sure.
But you can take that thought, and you can certainly make it go out of bounds.
Well, we do know the background in the Bible about Lucifer, that he was beautiful.
Yes.
That he loved music. He was talented. And it went to his head.
Yeah, it did, and it was not enough. And we're going to see as we go through all of the good things that he had was not enough. We're going to see as we go through this program how that has permeated through our society, and that's really where selfies come from.
Rick, we know this is a fun, interesting topic, but there's also a sad moment that we're going to deal with throughout this program.
Yes, there is.
And that is the passing of your father this past week.
Yeah, my dad died this past Wednesday night, and it was a lot. We knew that he was on his way, but it was a whole lot quicker than we had anticipated originally. And it's kind of, it was interesting because as I was doing the work and preparing to do a program on selfies,
yeah,
and my father is dying, there was an absolute correlation between the two.
How so?
Well, because my dad is the exact opposite of all of the things we're talking about. The exact polar opposite. He is the antithesis of selfies because he lived a selfless life. And so as we go through the program and we look at the experiences and the mentality of selfies, as long as I have the courage, I will share some of the experiences and observations of my father in his life that helped me in many, many ways become who and what I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was one of the heroes of my life.
Amen.
If not only because he was my dad, but spiritually, he was a rock of an example. And you knew him.
Absolutely. And actually, when I moved to Connecticut at first, I lived with your mom and dad.
Yeah, that's
rented
right.
Rented a room. And I learned so much about how to live a Christian life in a Christian environment with a focus and an attitude that I was not used to. It blew me away. They were such wonderful examples. So I thank the Lord for that experience.
Yeah, and you know, you learn something different about people when you see them in their everyday existence.
Oh, absolutely.
Than when you see them, you know, maybe at the Sunday meeting, mm-hmm. or in a public environment.
Sure.
That's
sure.
Where the rubber meets the road, isn't
it? It is.
Daily experience. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about my dad as the antithesis of the selfie mentality. And I think it's appropriate.
Oh, sure.
And the so you're right. This is a fun subject.
Yeah.
But and I'm going to have fun with the subject, but inside part of me is doing a little bit of crying right now.
Absolutely.
But you know, but that's part of the wholeness of life that we really need to be able to work on and to deal with.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning: what do selfies say about us? Coming up, social media. The point is to connect, right? See others' lives, and especially your life, to be seen by others. Is that what's really happening? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning: What do selfies say about us? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now, and our website, ChristianQuestions.com. And don't forget, we have an app for your smartphone. Just go to your app store and type in Christian Questions, and it brings you to everything Christian Questions.
That's right. And as we like to say, it makes your smartphone even smarter.
There you go.
With Christian Questions app. So we're talking about selfies and the permeation of selfies throughout our world. Does it mean something, or is it just a sort of a passing fad? We can look at it and say, isn't that cute? I don't think we can just treat it that way. I don't think we can say, isn't that cute? I think it's a symptom of something bigger and deeper that we have to really, really, really be focused on and understand. So as we go through this, Jonathan, again, we want to have some fun with this. And so we picked out an article from socialsamosa.com. Again, these are things that I've never heard of. And this article was about 15 different selfie poses. Now, I thought a selfie originally, before I did all of the looking into it, was, mm-hmm. You take a picture of yourself.
Right.
I had no idea that you could, it was the degree of the head tilt and the amount of profile and the background and the expression. And I had no idea that all of that was part of this.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it is.
But it is. So we're going to be featuring, if you will, each segment now, one of these selfie poses. Not all of them, but one of the selfie poses. So this first pose, Jonathan, is the just out of bed pose.
Minimal makeup and just out of bed hair would complete this look. Showing your followers and friends your without makeup Sophie will make them love you all the more as they get a glimpse of the real you, which is very sexy.
Did you say Sophie? It sounded like you said Sophie instead of selfie. But anyway, so the out-of-bed look. So, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but Jewel, you don't have to necessarily say it on the air, but would you like to have somebody take a picture of you just getting out of bed?
She's shaking her head no, Rick.
With great enthusiasm, I might add.
Yeah, why would someone do that?
Yeah, but see, I went on to one of those websites, and it was talking, and it was listening to somebody who was explaining it, and what she said is, you stage the out-of-bed look. So you don't. It's not the real out of bed look. It's the staged sort of disheveled look. But you still look pretty perfect when you're getting out of bed.
Okay.
So that's the thing. The whole point of selfies is to stage something to look like something that really it isn't.
Wow. Okay.
And I think that helps us to understand all this. Let's go back to that song by that group about that subject of selfies. Can't you feel it?
Like a filter? I don't know if I should go with FX Pro or Valencia. I want to look tan. What should my caption be? I want it to be clever. How about hashtag live? I only got 10 likes in the last 5 minutes. Do you think I should take it down? Let me take another selfie.
That was even hard to understand. I'm not going to try to repeat it. But the whole thing was, should I use a filter? I really want to look tan in this selfie. Should I do it this way? Should I do it that way? Oh, just let me take a selfie. And the whole thing is, let me present myself to the rest of the world in a very specific way. It's not the way I really look. It's not the way I necessarily really am. But it's the way I really want others to see and to perceive me.
Interesting.
And it's really, really kind of sad when you think about it.
Yeah.
Because what we're doing with, and folks, look, if you like selfies, I apologize. Because every selfie, I don't think, is a self-absorbed action.
Mm-hmm.
For instance,
mm-hmm.
if you're visiting someplace that you've never been, you're at the Grand Canyon.
Right.
And you want to take a picture of yourself at the Grand Canyon. Because
in the background,
it's like,
you want to be there.
I think that's a great selfie to take. Because, hey, I was there. It was the most awesome experience of my life. That kind of a thing, I can see. You're seeing a friend or a relative you haven't seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you take a picture of the two of you together, and you take it yourself. To me, that's a different kind of a selfie.
Sure.
That's not the production selfie that we're talking about. So, Jonathan, you had mentioned social media at the very beginning of this segment. With social media, the whole advertised point is to connect, to see the lives of others, and to most importantly have your life be seen by others. And the question is that's what is really happening here?
And the answer is no.
It's for the most part drifted into a category of self-presentation.
Yeah.
And I think we got to be really careful with that.
That's a little shallow, isn't it?
It's a lot shallow. Interestingly, the whole idea of self-focus and self-gratification is ancient, and the results have already been revealed. So we're going down a road, and everybody's saying, well, this is new, this is exciting. This is not new. This is not new at all.
It's all been done before.
This is ancient history. We're going to be focusing on King Solomon throughout the program, coming back to his experiences. So let's just start with a few lines from one of the commentators about Solomon.
Solomon also wrote the books of Proverbs and the Song of Solomon. We will find Ecclesiastes to be quite different from the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs, we saw the wisdom of Solomon, where we shall see the foolishness of Solomon. Ecclesiastes is the dramatic autobiography of his life when he was away from God.
So Solomon was given great, great wisdom.
And, yes, he was.
And great wealth followed that great wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the book of Proverbs, and when you read Proverbs, there's all these one-liners that are incredibly wise.
Very inspirational.
Insightful.
Mm-hmm.
Ecclesiastes, though, is very, very different. Let's take a look at we're going to feature a lot of the second chapter of Ecclesiastes as we go through this. Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 4.
I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. I said of laughter, it's a madness. And of pleasure, what does it accomplish? I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine when my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do under heaven the few years of their lives. I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself.
So the interesting thing is he's recounting his experience, and he says, I said to myself, come, I'm going to test myself with pleasure, with the pleasures of life. I'm going to test myself. And there's something inherently wrong right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, for sure.
And let's just get through, go back to McGee's, the Bible commentator's comments to wrap this little section up.
Man has tried to be happy without God. It is being tried every day by millions of people. This book shows the absurdity of the attempt. Solomon was the wisest of men, and he had a wisdom that was God-given. He tried every field of endeavor and pleasure that was known to man, and his conclusion was that all is vanity. The word vanity means empty, purposeless. Satisfaction in life can never be attained in this manner.
So that's the backdrop of the selfie mentality. King Solomon himself, because it was about me, and we're going to see the things that he did and the things that he experienced and then his eventual conclusion about the matter, which was kind of sad in some ways. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And don't forget to tweet us at CQNetRadio. And Rick, we were talking before the break, and when we talk about Solomon, and you think about your dad,
yeah,
what differences do you see? And what jumps out at you?
Well, first of all, they had one thing in common. They were both very wise.
Excellent.
But when you look at the experiences, and folks, if you just tuned in, my dad just passed away this past Wednesday. And so it's kind of a bittersweet experience doing a program on selfies. But as we look at it, it's a good opportunity to give us a comparison, because my dad was a selfless individual in so many ways. But, you know, Solomon says to himself, I'm going to test myself with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. My dad's experience in life was to be focused on serving God. And he made that incredibly important, incredibly deep, life-changing, mature decision when he was only 12 years old.
That is amazing. And from the stories that I've heard, he gave up pleasures when he dedicated his life to God.
Right. And
isn't that interesting?
That's the exact opposite. So Solomon is saying, I'm wise. It's God-given. Let me just test and see how it all works.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's approach was, by God's grace, he's called me to a higher purpose. Let me find and do his purpose and do nothing else. So it's a complete different approach to their lives. My dad was not wealthy by human standards, by any stretch of the imagination. But he was far wealthier than Solomon ever, ever, ever grew to be. When you see the quality and the richness of his life, and you see the richness of his family and the family unit that he by example built around him. So, dramatic difference. We are looking for things and stuff. That's what selfies represents to me.
Mm-hmm.
We don't find the fulfillment in the things and the stuff. So, a little comparison. We'll come back to that next segment. Jonathan, let's go to another soundbite. This is from Prince. Now, it's EA. I'm not even sure how to pronounce it. He's a rapper, and he is profound. Now, listen, we're going to go through this entire rap throughout the program. We're going to break it into pieces. But it's called Can We Autocorrect Humanity? And so just listen to his challenge and his approach to the problem of self-absorption.
Did you know the average person spends 4 years of his life looking down at his cell phone? Kind of ironic, ain't it? How these touch screens can make us lose touch. But it's no wonder in a world filled with iMacs, iPads, and iPhones, so many eyes, so many selfies, not enough us's and we's, see? Technology has made us more selfish and separate than ever. Because while it claims to connect us, connection has gotten no better.
We'll come back to that. But
wow.
He
that is wise.
There's eloquence in his an approach. And you know, for some practicality in approaching the whole selfie mentality of our day, first, all selfies do not fall into the category of self-promotion. We started talking about that earlier. And we're going to come back to Prince Ia. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I apologize for mispronouncing it. Because he nails down what the issues are. So, again, selfies don't always come down to self-promotion. It really boils down to why and the how and the frequency of our, quote, self-portraits, unquote.
Mm.
So we want to touch on 5 points, 1 point per segment, as we go through the rest of the program, to test our selfie awareness as we use Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, as our guideline perspective. Okay, so there's these 5 points that we're going to be touching on as we go through the program. So we've got several elements. We're going to have the King Solomon element.
Yeah.
We're going to have my dad is the antithesis of King Solomon.
Yes.
In so many ways. We're going to have Prince Ia, or E, or however you say his name, explaining it from a very current perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have Philippians 2 helping us put it in perspective to test how aware we are of where we stand in this self-absorbed society.
As Christians.
Okay, so first selfie solution. Go ahead, what is it?
Establish or reestablish our true north of affection. Where do we look to fill the holes in our lives?
That is such an important question. Because all of us have holes in our lives, things
sure.
that you know you feel you that maybe are not fulfilled or not the way they should be or could be. Where do you look to find the fulfillment for those things? Philippians 2, verses 1 to 2.
Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose.
So the first theme here is the idea of fellowship.
Yes.
Now, fellowship and acquaintances or fellowship and friendship are different kinds of things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Many times we have people who are our friends.
Sure.
But you don't necessarily have fellowship with those people.
Not necessarily, right.
Because fellowship is sort of a coming together under a very, very specific common purpose. The deeper the fellowship then morphs into something I call co-laboring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
We're not. This is not about, you know, studying fellowship. That should be a subject for another day. That's a great subject,
yes,
incidentally.
It is. Yeah.
But the idea here is, so where do you look to fill the holes in your lives? In Philippians, it's saying, check your fellowship. Look to see, because if there are others who are about the same purpose in life as you, a higher purpose, go there, and that can help you fill the holes in your life with something bigger, stronger, better.
Unlike Solomon, looking towards pleasures.
To test himself. I said in my wisdom, I will test myself to see how do pleasures affect the man, and I will be able to assess the test as I look at all of this. So focusing on fellowship of the Spirit helps us to focus, the focus to be outside of just me. So Romans 12:9-13.
Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality.
Those are all aspects of fellowship. Jonathan,
they really are.
Why don't we go to the phones real quick here before the segment ends?
Sure. Well, we have David from Indiana. Good morning, David, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Yes, I was wondering if you thought that small step into the vanities is the end result, what the prophets called rebelliousness and stiff-neckedness of the people. Another more current example might be when the Christian American population went to adopt the terms liberal or conservative, and where that has led us.
You know, you're bringing up a really important and a very, very good point, because vanity is the big issue. Satan was filled with vanity in a lot of ways. We saw the vanity of Eve responding to Satan's temptation, and Solomon is showing us vanity. And what you're saying is, yeah, that is a very basic part of the downfall of a Christian attitude. Dave, we have to run. I'm sorry about that, but we're at the end of a segment here.
Much obliged.
Thanks for the call. We really appreciate it. So he brings up an important point.
Oh, he does.
We're going to come back to that word again and again and again as we go through this program.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, what do selfies say about us? Coming up, did Jesus himself actually promote a selfie mentality?
What?
We are supposed to let our light shine, right? Bring on the camera. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, what do selfies say about us? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now, and our website, ChristianQuestions.com, and don't forget to go there and sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition.
So at the end of the last segment, did you ask a question about, was Jesus promoting a selfie mentality? Did I get that right?
Yes. Bring on the phones. Let your light shine. You want everyone to see that light, right?
Okay, let's see how that works out. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Okay, that's an interesting way to look at things. So as we get started back with this subject, Jonathan, a little bit more on the thinking behind selfies. Remember we said we're going to feature a selfie pose each segment. Well, what's the selfie pose for this segment from socialsamosa.com?
Rick, it's reflection shots.
Do explain.
Pose and capture your reflection on the windows of cars or crystal-clear human-sized mirrors. This adds a sense of depth to your shots and makes them extremely fascinating.
Okay, I'm glad to know that. Why am I glad to know that? I don't know, but... So
the science of selfies.
The reflection shots. And actually, in doing some research, looked online at selfies and saw people taking selfies of themselves in the mirror. So you can see yourself taking the picture of yourself in the mirror. And then there were the people who had the selfie, the camera, and the tablet over here, and two mirrors, and you could see them from all these different angles. And I mean, it was very...
Did they forget who they were? Isn't there a scripture that talks about looking in a mirror because you forget who you really are?
Yeah, well, you know, the problem, Jonathan, I think, actually, is that I would question if we know who we really are by taking selfies.
Ooh.
Because we're trying to be something, trying to be an image of something. And is that who we really are? Well, that's what we've got to really ask ourselves.
Good
so that's
question.
A very important question. Let's go to another soundbite. This is from a different song from Nina Nesbitt about selfies.
Take a picture of myself, self, self. Take a picture of myself, self, self. Guess I'm reaching out to be a toy. All I wanted was to be a toy. Now you're telling me in vain, 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 yeah. That you don't feel my pain, pain, pain. Raising life up on the shelf, shelf, shelf. Take a picture of myself, self, self. Take a picture of myself. Take a picture of myself.
taking pictures of myself. Taking pictures of myself.
There's a theme there, isn't there?
There is.
Taking pictures of myself. You know, and you say that I'm vain, but you don't feel my pain. And I think that helps us to understand some of the mentality behind selfies. It is to cover up what is and present something different.
Yes.
And you know what, folks? This is not necessarily a good way to go about life. And again, every single selfie is not, we're not putting it all in the same category. But when we get obsessed by it, and we want to make the statement with our selfie, and we want to you know, put on the makeup and show, I'm not going to put on any makeup. Just let's make that clear right from the start. But you know, and you know, put the filter in so we can show the tan that doesn't really exist, and on and on and on and on and on. And it's all me about me. There's something inherently disturbing about where we go with that as a society. So let's think about that.
And that's why Solomon is such a good example.
Yeah, he really
of today.
Is. He really is. Jonathan, let's go to the phones.
All right. Well, we have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Holy Sunday, guys.
Thank you. You too.
And Enric, I am truly sorry. Anyone that met your dad knew that he was really in the presence of a true witness for the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. And we have Isaiah 44:10. Anyone who forms a god or casts an idol to no purpose will be put to shame. People always carry pictures of their grandkids in their wallet, not photos of themselves. Selfies may offer a way to share stories and experiences, but there is also a danger that their ease of use may not lead to bonding with friends, relatives, or community, but ego gratification. Isaiah 5:21. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Joy is found in being in Christ in the moment. Worrying too much about selfies takes us out of that experience. Is the selfie truly to share or to show off? This is a new technology, but the same old problem. We do not rise in being seen by man, but by being in God. Deuteronomy 26:19. He will then raise you high in praise and renown and glory, and you will be a people sacred to the Lord your God.
Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
God bless you guys.
Take care.
Well said. New technology, old problem. You know, people carry, you're right, you carry pictures of your grandchildren in your wallet.
Oh, of course.
We're not supposed to be showing pictures of ourselves. Hey, look at me in this pose. Oh, and look at me with this pout. Look at me with these duck lips. I still don't get duck lips at all, but, you know, apparently that's something big. Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Jonathan, let's go back to King Solomon because Randall also referred to him. King Solomon's excesses continue. And now in these next few verses, notice the subject matter that he's talking about. Ecclesiastes 2:5-8.
I made gardens and parks for myself, and I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves, and I homeborn slaves. Also, I possess flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasures of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines.
I didn't count how many times he says I in those verses, but it's
too many.
It's a lot.
Too many.
And he did it. I did this all for me. I did this all for me. I did this all for
me. He's testing that pleasure.
That's
thing.
Right, because he's so wise.
Yeah.
He has the wisdom, and he figures he's wise enough to be above whatever.
And handle those pleasures.
Right, but he was wrong. He was absolutely wrong, and we'll see that as life crumbles before his very eyes. But, you know, when I see this, Jonathan, and I think of my dad.
Yes.
Again, my dad passed away this past Wednesday. My dad did nothing of the sort. What he did was build a legacy of spirituality and faithfulness, and he handed it to anybody who would take it.
Absolutely. I remember the family dinners after church on Sunday,
yep.
Sitting around this table with 18 to 25, maybe who knows how many people.
Yep.
And he would always give wisdom and insight. And you just sit back and say, wow, I'd like to be like him.
Right. And that's what I still say. When I grow up, I want to be like my dad. I'm 56 years old, and I still say that. So big contrast between what Solomon was doing to test things and what my dad did to live.
Yes.
Big difference. Big difference. Let's go back to Rhett and Link, this hashtag, the science of selfies, because the hashtag thing is a big part of the selfie mentality.
People know exactly what we're talking about when we say selfie, but the first time it was used as a hashtag was on Instagram, January 16th, 2011, Jennifer Lee from Oakland just shared a picture of her face, a selfie, and hashtagged it selfie. So congratulations, Jennifer Lee. You hold the record for the first hashtag selfie.
And
you should win something for that.
So there's the history. It's very modern. 2011 was the first hashtag that identified a selfie. And now we have hashtags that identify all kinds of things. And in Seeker Rewind, the full edition, we're going to have like some selfies featured there with some very interesting hashtags, if you will. Go with them, okay?
Oh,
so
fun.
Little bit of, and again, that's what we're doing. We're having fun with it, okay? Now, did Jesus encourage a selfie mentality, Jonathan? You say, you know, I let's look at Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31.
One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. Seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'"
Ah, that could be it. You shall love your neighbor as your selfie.
I don't think so.
No? There's no translation that makes it selfie? So you can't?
I've never seen that translation, no.
Well, see, here's the thing, though. Look at the words of Jesus. It says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And you say, okay, you know, does that mean you should be adoring yourself? You know, you should be putting yourself into such a wonderful position because, you know, you want to do that for your neighbor as well. It means you should be caring for yourself, is what it means.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you should be proud and egotistical.
No.
Because the things he said before that are, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength.
His Heavenly Father, he loved. He wasn't saying, love me like this. He was saying, love and honor my Father, because he's the creator and the giver of everything.
And if you spend your time and energy loving God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you will have no time for selfies.
No, you won't.
And you'll have no time for the selfie mentality. There is no other greater commandment than these, is how he finishes that statement. So no, Jesus did not promote a selfie mentality. Let's make that clear. So our love for self comes out of a love for God first and foremost. That's what Jesus just said. And that places us in our rightful position as the created. And that is the lost piece of truth in our present society. We have displaced ourselves from the created, and we have become in our own eyes the creator. And by doing so, we have completely messed up the balance of life as it should be. Now, by being in the proper balance, as such, love for self is humble, appreciative, and God-honoring. Do we show our love for our neighbor in that same way? Being humble.
That's what we were told to do.
Being appreciative, being God-honoring in our love for our neighbor. That's what the scripture is talking about.
Yes, it is.
It's not talking about building yourself up.
No.
Not at all. Let's go back to Prince. Somebody has got to call and tell me how to pronounce this guy's name. E-A. Ia or E? I don't know. Jonathan, do you know? No. Okay. All right. So anyway, second.
There's another Jonathan in the studio.
Yes, that's right.
a younger one.
He would know. You wouldn't.
I know. Hey, just Google it, Jonathan.
Anyway, let's get to this because we're running out of time. The second part of the wrap on can we correct autocorrect humanity.
And let me express first, Mr. Zuckerberg, not to be rude, but you should reclassify Facebook to what it is, an anti-social network. Because while we may have big friend lists, so many of us are friend lists all alone, because friendships are more broken than the screens on our very phones. We sit at home on our computers measuring self-worth by numbers of followers and likes. Ignoring those who actually love us, it seems we'd rather write an angry post and talk to someone who might actually hug us. Am I bugging?
What great comparisons. And in Seeker Rewind, the full edition, we're going to have this all spelled out. Everything
he really has insight in life today.
And he's asking the questions that need to be answered.
Yes, he is.
So let's go to our second selfie solution, Jonathan. What is it?
Establish or reestablish our true north of motivation and action. Are we moved to act by what we want and feel, or do the lives of those around us supply our motivation to action?
So are we moved to act by what we want and feel, or is there something bigger that moves us? Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4.
Do nothing for selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others.
So empty conceit is just that. Empty. It has no lasting value. Godliness, on the other hand, is an unending source of strength, grace, and perspective. So, you know, it's important to understand the contrast, Jonathan. The selfie mentality is about that empty conceit. It truly, truly is. It's making myself look good. It's presenting myself in a very specific way to society around me. And it's filled with a hollow sense of worth. A hallowed sense of worth. Godliness is what we should really be seeking in our lives. Folks, as we go into the second hour, we want to remind you to check us out on Facebook. And next hour, we're going to ask you the question, how to give your selfie a facelift. Think about that. Now, why would we be talking about facelift? For Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, we'll be back after the news. But till then, what do selfies say about us? We'll be back soon. Think about it.
Is Christian Questions.
Deepak Chopra once said, "The ego relies on the familiar. It is reluctant to experience the unknown, which is the very essence of life." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what is this topic we're talking about today? I hardly believe we're talking about it, but it's true.
Yes, it is, Rick. It's a tough one. What do selfies say about us? And our theme text is found in Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing for selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves.
And that should tell us right there what selfies say about us, about how we are stepping outside of the guidelines of that scripture in a very dramatic way.
Mm-hmm.
And again, every picture that one takes of oneself is not necessarily going to fall into that category
No.
of self-conceit and emptiness and so forth. But the vast majority do.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to understand how it all fits together. And folks, we do want to tell you that Jonathan and I actually, during the break, between the 2 hours, we took a selfie of ourselves, didn't we?
Oh, we did, Rick.
We should have had a video of us trying to do it, because we couldn't even do it. We couldn't hold the camera and do it.
It was funny. It was hilarious.
Anyway, that will be in Seeker Rewind, the full edition.
Oh, you have to go to ChristianQuestions.com and sign up.
So
check it out.
Yeah, it's our imitation of what we see of the selfie mentality of our world.
Great.
You'll see it here first.
Oh, my.
All right. So as we get into this, back into the selfie conversation, can we give our selfies? I said at the end of the last hour, talking about giving our selfies a facelift. And I mean that. How do you give your selfies a facelift to help find a truer meaning of life? So we're going to focus on that idea this segment. But first, before we get into that, a little bit more behind the thinking behind selfies. Remember, we're featuring one selfie pose per segment.
Yes, we are.
The selfie pose for this segment, Jonathan, is what?
Well, it's capture your pout. I love the pout, Rick. Okay, here we go. Paint your pout in a bold color while keeping the rest of your makeup minimal. Now click while focusing on and showing off your super gorgeous lips.
So the pout must be kind of like a kissy kind of face?
Like a duck face?
I don't know. All I know is there's all of these poses, there's all these
duck
techniques
lips, yeah,
for selfies, and I never imagined such a thing even existed.
Yeah.
So As a matter of fact, in along those lines, let's go to a soundbite, short soundbite, from Seven Selfies You Can't Take Back with Megan Rosette. This is selfie number two that you can't take back. She's explaining what it is.
Number two, the adorable kid picture. This one breaks a basic rule. Never snap a pic with a kid who's 1,000 times cuter than you are. So, ditch the adorable niece or cousin. Ah! Selfies are about you looking awesome. You don't want some kid stealing your thunder.
No. You know, now I could not tell when I watched that little video if she was being serious or sarcastic through any of this. I couldn't tell.
It sounded pretty serious.
I know, and that worries me. That worries me. Because the whole point of a selfie is focusing on, hello, me. And not anybody else. And that should tell us something about what this whole thing, this whole selfie mentality says about us here and now. Folks, if you have a thought, we'd love to hear your selfie thoughts at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
And if you'd like to write us, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320.
And don't forget to check out ChristianQuestions.com. Lots to see at the website, ChristianQuestions.com. Let's go back to King Solomon, Jonathan, because he's been sort of a feature in the going wrong of the selfie mentality. And the interesting thing is Solomon explored all of the selfishness that provokes selfies now thousands of years ago. He explored it in great detail, and he reported in on what he explored. So we know the results already. Why do we need to go down a road that we already know what's going to happen?
Human nature.
Yeah. Okay, well, you're right about that. So way back in ancient history, Solomon lived the question, how much is enough? Let's listen to this. Ecclesiastes 2, 9 through 11.
Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. All that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor.
So, I mean, he's talking about the idea that whatever he saw, if he wanted it, he just went and got it, because this was the reward for his labor, and his labor was all about him.
Yes, it was.
Continue.
Thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun.
So all of this get, me, my comes to a grinding halt, for no matter what we have, we're still mortal.
This comes back to David's call from Indiana,
right,
about vanity.
And Solomon highlights vanity, and that is going to be the theme as we go forward from his experience. And he had everything. You know, we talk about the rich and the super rich.
Yeah.
Solomon was the super, super rich.
And we also see the problems with that and the suicides, thinking that these people have everything. And suicide is so prevalent.
Well, they have everything, but they don't have happiness, and they don't have fulfillment, and they don't have joy. Those are the things missing. You know, and this past week we were talking, the first hour, my dad passed away.
Yes,
on Wednesday mm-hmm. of this week. And, you know, preparing for this program, I was very, very, very close to my dad. I lived right next door, and he was a major, major part of my life. And as we were preparing for this program on selfies, I thought it's actually kind of appropriate, because he's exactly the opposite of all the things we're talking about. One of the things my dad always did, or did in the last 15 to 20 years, I don't remember exactly when he started, he instituted in our family Sunday dinners, when we would celebrate somebody's birthday,
mm-hmm.
He would, after all the cards and everything, he'd say, okay, you know, Jonathan, you're a year older now. Tell us what words of wisdom you have.
Oh, so he would pass it on to others and bring that out of them.
Right.
Oh, what a wise thing to do.
Yeah, and it really, and it's such a deep family tradition now. Sometimes, depending on whose turn it is, some will write it out, some will act it out, some will do it in song or poetry.
Oh, neat.
let me tell you Dominic. Now, he's the youngest in the family at this point. He's 7
years
old. Yes. His first words of wisdom were at age 6. And his words of wisdom were, now, this is a 6-year-old boy, okay?
Okay.
Always wear socks when you wear sneakers so you don't have stinky feet. Got to start somewhere.
There's some wisdom in that.
So, you know, that's my dad provoking true wisdom out of everyone around him. Solomon was pouring his wisdom out and wasting it.
Yes.
He was just going down into the sewer, essentially. Let's go to another soundbite, Jonathan. Back to Rhett and Link, and they're talking about the science of selfies, and they're talking about the world's first selfie. Not really, but sort of. Let's listen.
Where did selfies come from? Well, actually, a guy named Robert Cornelius, who was an American pioneer in photography, produced a daguerreotype, which is an image formed on a polished silver surface. He did this in 1839.
A primitive photo.
One of the very first photos ever. And because he didn't have anybody there with him, apparently, and he could actually make it, it was so long, the exposure time was so long, like a couple of minutes, he was able to take the lens cap off, get in front of the thing, look at himself, look at it into the camera for a couple of minutes, and then go back and finish taking the photo. And so I guess just by default, one of the first photos ever was actually a selfie.
Okay.
Funny.
A little bit of interesting history, 1839. Before we go to the phones, let's go to facelift time, because we're talking about giving your selfie a facelift.
Yes.
How do we do that? Romans 12, 1 and 2.
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God? What is good and acceptable and perfect?
So here, Jonathan, here's some practical advice in terms of selfies. So if we take the I out of selfie, selfie, S-E-L-F-I-E,
mm-hmm.
and you replace the I with an L, L stands for our Lord.
Okay? Good, sure.
Now, what you need to add to the end of that is sanctification and salvation. Those are two things that our Lord brings to us.
Sure.
Okay, the S from sanctification and the S from salvation, and the conclusion of what was once a selfie, once you took the I out, replaced it with an L, and add the two S's, now you have selfless.
I love it.
So you've just given your selfie a facelift, because now to become selfless, you must always look up.
Nice.
That's the facelift that our selfies need and deserve, to become selfless and to put things back in perspective.
Well, Rick, let's go to the phones. We have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning, gentlemen. Condolences on your dad, by your dad's death.
Thank you, Julius. Appreciate it.
Yeah. What a fascinating, challenging topic.
Isn't it interesting?
Yeah. Wow. I asked your screener, good morning, I says, I'm looking, can you give me instructions on how to take a selfie? Yeah, incidentally, that scripture you're looking for may be a little tricky to find, mirror,
yes.
Depending on the translation, it's James chapter 1, verse 23.
Thank you.
And my translation uses glass.
Oh, okay.
Like a person looking in the glass.
Mm-hmm.
You see how that connects really nice to the selfie concept of, self-gratification, ego, and so forth. Just quickly, the scripture that comes to mind is the second letter of John, the second epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 14. It says something like this, we know that we have passed from death unto life, not because we take a selfie, but because we love the brethren. Love. You see, the model, the Lord Jesus.
Right.
Just the one more scripture in conjunction with, it's in the second chapter of Philippians. You read from Philippians already,
mm-hmm.
but later on in the chapter says, how Lord Jesus took on himself the form of a servant to serve others. And what a wonderful, challenge to lay up ourselves treasures in heaven. Forget the selfie. God bless.
Thank you, Julius. Appreciate
you.
Your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Jonathan, we're going to be touching on that exact Philippians scripture as our next text. Before we get to that, though, so Julius, we'll come back to your comments. Let's go to Prince. And I'm told that the pronunciation is Prince A. It's E-A, but it's pronounced A. I apologize for the mispronunciations earlier. He gives us a modern, clear-cut understanding and asks the right questions about what's happened to us as human beings in this particular rap. Let's listen.
You tell me, because I asked a friend the other day, let's meet up face to face. They said, all right, what time you want to Skype?
I responded with OMG, SRS, and then a bunch of SMHs, and realized, what about me? Do I not have the patience to have conversation without abbreviation? This is the generation of media overstimulation. Chats have been reduced to snaps. The news is 140 characters. Videos are 6 seconds at high speed. And you wonder why ADD is on the rise faster than 4G LTE. But get a load of this. Studies show the attention span of the average adult today is 1 second lower than that of a goldfish.
He is so profound.
He is.
In just the way he lays out and says, what? And he's looking at us saying, what happened? What happened to us? How did we become so abbreviation oriented in our thinking rather than the fulfillment of human interaction?
True relationships are being degraded.
Absolutely. Selfie solution. Our next one, Jonathan, what is it?
Establish or reestablish our true north of attitude. Do we have such an attitude as Jesus to provoke us to be able to put our lives on the line, to be able to walk away from comfort and into conflict?
And let's take a look at the scripture that supports that, and Julius actually quoted part of it, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7.
Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men.
And that represents the humility that reigns in the selfless heart. Jesus showed us how to do it. He left the heavenly realm. He became man for the purpose of humbly serving the massive plan of God. That's the attitude, the true north of attitude that we need to be focusing on, the attitude of Jesus. We need to have that in our daily lives. And when we have that attitude, there's no room for selfies.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, what do selfies say about us? Coming up, so how much do you think you need selfies? Would it really be that bad to leave a selfie mentality behind? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, what do selfies say about us? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com. And what does selfie say about us, Rick? Well, when you go to Christian Questions, Seek Your Rewind, you'll see how bad a selfie can be. It's pitiful.
Yeah, you'll see just the other side. We certainly weren't trying to be impressive, I'll tell you that. And our selfie that we just took here in the studio during a commercial break. Yep.
Terrible.
Oh, but it's so much fun. All right, so Jonathan, again, we're featuring different selfie poses. And these things I just never knew existed, but what's the next pose?
Well, Rick, the next pose is the mirror selfie. Selfie.
Selfie. What is it about selfie? Yeah. I don't know. I love the mirror selfie, Jonathan. I really
do.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It's really one of my favorites.
Capture yourself from both sides by posing in front of a mirror in the most flattering angle. This will make your selfie look very interesting, and it will stand out amidst the innumerable other selfies in the selfie land.
The only problem I would have, Jonathan, is if I was doing a selfie in a mirror, there is no flattering angle. It's like, there's no hope. You know, and a lot of the selfie talk so far has been talking about, you know, women and selfies. And women do take the majority of selfies.
Okay.
Depending on the country. In Moscow, for instance, 89% of selfies taken are by women.
Wow.
Yeah. In America, I think it's about 55%. Something I learned in our research here. But Mippy, I don't know who Mippy is, but little song about selfies, and selfies apply to men too. Let's go to this soundbite and just hear about men's attachment to selfies.
Needed, that's all I know. I'm home alone and I think I look great. So hi internet, take a look at my face. I can't let this outfit I got go to waste, but I'm stuck in a bathroom alone with no date. So I'll just stay here and take another selfie. I'm obsessed, it's unhealthy. Click, share, I don't care that I'm a man. I'ma take another pic and I'ma post Instagram.
I'm bored, so I'ma take a selfie. I'm obsessed, it's unhealthy.
Men are just as vulnerable to the selfie disease of our world.
Well, Solomon shared that with us.
Yeah, he did. You know, and he didn't have the camera.
No.
But he had everything else.
Yep.
Let's go back to Solomon. Solomon continues, his perception of the world now is imploding. Remember, he was testing himself.
Yes.
Because he had such wisdom. Mm-hmm. And he tested himself with all of the pleasures of the world, and he brought them all to himself without any regard for anything else, and his world implodes around him as he is faced with mortality, and the flawed thinking of a man who lavished too much upon himself, and that just nails our present society. Ecclesiastes 2:12-17.
So I turn to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. For what will the man do who will come after the king, except what he has done, already had been done. And I saw that the wisdom exceeds folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I know that one fate befalls them both.
So far, so good. Wisdom is better. He's saying, okay, wisdom obviously exceeds all of these other things, but he says, yeah, both the wise and the foolish are going to end up dying. Let's continue.
Then I said to myself, as is the fate of the fool, it will also befall me. Why then have I been extremely wise? So I said to myself, this too is vanity, for there is no lasting remembrance of the wise man as with the fool, inasmuch as in the coming days all will be forgotten. And how the wise man and the fool alike die. So I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after wind.
So now he talks, what happened? He had reached for and grasped so much in his life, when it all added up to his life being a terminal endeavor, because he's mortal, he's going to die.
Yep.
He abandons everything as vanity, even wisdom.
And he counts it as wind.
Yes. Blown away.
Gone.
Right. This is a sad and poignant warning of our present selfie society, about our own end results of our reaching and seeking fulfillment in places that only gives you stuff. So Solomon threw wisdom away with the vanity of everything else, because he said, I'm going to die anyway. What good is any of this? So by seeking after and bringing everything to him, he lost even more. He not only lost all of the junk in his life, but he lost all the value as well. What a sad story. And Jonathan, we've been sort of addressing my dad's passing away this past week.
Yes.
And we're doing it whenever we talk about Solomon. And I wanted to share just something. I won't read it because I probably wouldn't be able to make it through. But and when my family was going through some of my dad's stuff, I think my daughter found a prayer that he had written.
Oh, neat.
It wasn't meant for publication. It wasn't meant for anybody. But it was one of the most beautiful, heartfelt, deep, humble, honest expressions. And it just captivates who he is and who he was.
That's beautiful.
We're going to put that prayer in the bonus material, Seeker Rewind, the full edition. So,
excellent.
Folks, if you don't get Seeker Rewind, the full edition, sign up for it at ChristianQuestions.com or through the smartphone app. It's a free service. And because we want, you got to see the opposite of all of this selfie mess. And again, that wasn't done for the purpose of being published throughout the world. It was done for the purpose of writing down his desire to serve God.
That's beautiful.
When I think about it, it moves me to tears. Let's go back to Rhett and Link and talk about, they actually traced back when the actual first selfie picture was taken and sort of called a selfie picture. Let's listen.
The first use of the term selfie appeared in 2002 on an Australian internet forum, September. This was the post. I'm drunk at a mate's 21st. I tripped over and landed lip first, with my front teeth coming a very close second on a set of steps. I had a hole about 1 centimeter long right through my bottom lip. And sorry about the focus. It was a selfie.
So there it is.
That's the first one.
The first use of selfie was from a drunk guy who had fallen down. He took a picture of the hole he put in his lip because he fell face first.
Well, that should tell us a lot.
It does. It really does. It tells us that we have become drunk with the idea of self-image, self-perception. presentation and making ourselves look like something that we probably are not, so that we can be able to look down upon the rest of those around us. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
Christian Questions, a weekly habit that's good for you. Thanks for tuning us in every Sunday morning from 7 to 9. Join our conversation any day and time at ChristianQuestions.com.
And Jonathan, I just want to go back for a moment and just reiterate the idea that every picture that one takes of oneself, it doesn't fall into this category that we're so worried about.
Right, right.
But when we become obsessed with it, when we become obsessed with, oh, the most flattering angle, and the pout, or the duck face, or the head tilt, or, you know, using the filter so we look different than we really are, and do this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 35, 50, 100 times. I mean, there are people who take 50 to 200 selfies a day.
Wow.
Because it becomes an obsession with trying to present themselves to the rest of the world. That's not a good place to be.
No, it's not.
And we have a choice. We have a choice. It may not be an easy choice, and it may not always be an obvious choice, but we have a choice as to what we do and how we deal with ourselves and the world and life around us. Joshua 24, 14 to 16 helps us to deal with that. Before you read that, Jonathan, folks, again, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. Tell us your selfie thoughts. We'd love to hear them.
Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods.
So there was a choice there. And I would submit to you, Jonathan, as we talk about selfies and the mentality of selfies, it is making a choice to serve the God of self. I think that's really what it is. Again, not every single self picture is that way, but when you get into that mentality of presentation, it is serving the God of self. And Joshua is simply saying, choose you this day whom you will serve. And he likens it to, are you going to serve the idols of other countries, or are you going to serve God Almighty? And for us is, are we going to serve the idol of ourselves?
Which is so easily possible.
Right.
I mean, it can creep up on us all day long.
I mean,
we have to fight it.
You think
daily.
You think about all of the new electronics that we have, and how electronics are built for the ability to take selfies.
Yeah.
Who ever heard of a camera built? And you know, you and I were trying to take the selfie.
Yeah.
And they're saying, okay, no, you have to turn the camera around, but then you can't see yourself. And we're saying, well, how do you do that? And then the other young Jonathan in the studio says, here's what you do. Presses the button, and now you see yourself in the thing, and you can
which
take
we didn't know you could.
You could take a picture of yourself. I mean, the electronics are built around self image.
Wow.
That's an issue. That's a problem. Let's go back to Prince A and his rap about auto-correcting humanity. This is utterly profound.
So if you're one of the few people or aquatic animals that have yet to click off or close this video, congratulations. Let me finish by saying you do have a choice. Yes. But this one, my friends, we cannot auto-correct. We must do it ourselves. Take control or be controlled. Make a decision. Me? No longer do I want to spoil a precious moment by recording it with a phone. I'm just going to keep them. I don't want to take a picture of all my meals anymore. I'm just going to eat them. I don't want the new app, the new software, or the new update. And if I want to post an old photo, who says I have to wait until Thursday? I'm so tired of performing in the pageantry of vanity and conforming to this accepted form of digital insanity.
Unbelievable. Wow. You know, if I want to post an old photo, who says I have to wait till Thursday? I didn't know what that meant. My daughter said, it's Throwback Thursday. That's what you're supposed to do on Thursdays or something.
Oh, okay.
So, and, you know, the idea of, you know, I'm going to have a wonderful meal. I'm not going to take a picture of it. Here's a really cool idea. I'm going to eat it and enjoy it. I'm going to live in the moment. That's what he's saying. When we do the selfie thing, we're not living in the moment. We're trying to create an image. And there's no living in the creation of that image. It just doesn't fit together. just doesn't work. Let's go to the phones.
All right. Well, we have Steve from Connecticut. Good morning, Steve, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay.
So here's my take on selfies and, I guess, social media, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, if people still even use that, I don't know. I'm a young man. I'm 26 years old, and I don't have a smartphone. You know, I really don't believe in them. I don't have a Facebook. I don't have a Twitter. And I'm married to someone that, she has all that, and it really makes me sad. It makes me kind of disgusted that there's such a false perception of reality, particularly with Instagram, I think. You know, you see all these pictures of people being happy and, the perfect relationship or the brand new car or anything like that, and it gives such a false perception of what reality really is. It's just a snapshot of, like you guys have been saying, it's a false perception of who they are, what they represent. And it's something that really, really aggravates me. So I'm glad you guys brought this up, and I've been, hearing about it all week. And, we're going to talk about selfies. We're going to talk about selfies. So, I'm glad you guys are doing a piece on this. I think it's really great.
Steve, thanks. Appreciate your input, your thoughts, and your insight. Thanks.
No problem.
Take care.
And, he nailed it down. It's a snapshot. And, again, it's a snapshot that's created to make an image look the way reality maybe not necessarily is. Now, look, in defense of creating an image, if somebody's going to take a picture of you, you want to look nice.
Sure.
And you're going to make sure your hair is combed and,
yep,
and on all of that stuff. There's a big difference between that and the creating of that image.
Oh, for sure.
And I think that's really what Steve is saying. So appreciate that, Steve, very much. Selfie solutions, Jonathan. What's our next selfie solution?
Establish or reestablish our true north of purpose. Is the purpose of our lives so vibrant that our humility and obedience to it will shine through no matter what the cost?
And the scripture that helps us see that is Philippians 2:8.
Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross.
So the purpose of Jesus' life was so vibrant that his humility and obedience shone through. You knew what he came for,
yes,
and he did what he came for, and it was not pleasant what he came to do.
No.
But he did it because it was the purpose. Purpose brings choice, which brings the courage to change. And, here's where we can learn to leave the selfie mentality behind. Philippians 3:7.
But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ.
So the Apostle Paul is saying in Philippians 3, look, I was in a certain place in my life, doing certain things, experiencing life in a certain way, and as I looked at my life and I assessed that life versus a life of footstep following Jesus, I realized that those things, they were gained to me at one point, but no longer do they matter. Because there's something bigger, something better, something stronger, something more valuable than any of those things. And that's the key to understanding the selfie mentality and choosing your way out of it, is realize our lives can be full of much greater value as a footstep follower of Jesus.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, what do selfies say about us? Coming up, how do we truly live a God-honoring life? What can we learn from Solomon's experience? Better yet, how about Rick's dad? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, what do selfies say about us?
We know what our selfie says about us.
To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
And, Jonathan, as we get back started with our program here, we actually, we took that selfie, you and I, during commercial break.
Yes, we did.
And so Jewel, your wife, sent it to our chief rewinder, Julie.
Yep.
Who's out in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently she got it. And Jewel, I guess she texted you back.
A comment.
What did she say?
She said, yikes, didn't they learn anything from the program? Angle from the top. Angle from the top. I will encourage them to redo it.
Oh, we're not going to redo it. But so apparently our selfie just wasn't quite up to snuff. But
I guess not.
Again, Seek Your Rewind, the full edition. You'll see it there, and you can judge for yourselves, and then you can let us know. I mean, what do you say? All right, so Jonathan, as we begin to wrap up this program, a little bit more on the thinking behind selfies. What's our last selfie pose that we will feature?
The you're getting ready pose.
Okay.
Take a shot of yourself while you're applying makeup or tying up your hair.
Not you, Jonathan. This does not apply to you.
Okay, good. Yeah. I promise the capture will not only turn out interesting, but also extremely appealing.
Okay, so there you have it. Several selfie poses. There's all kinds of ways. And, of course, when everybody's doing something, the idea apparently is you have to find a unique way to do it so your selfie stands out in the world, in the great sea of selfies.
Yeah.
Your selfie rises to the top or something or other.
I guess so.
So there you have it. Let's go back, Jonathan, just one last time to that song we started the program with, another verse from this, you know, I think I'll take another selfie. And just for the sake of putting it in perspective.
I guess I took a good selfie.
That just, to me, that kind of, that wraps up the whole mentality of the thing.
It does.
It's this big crescendo of noise that brings us nowhere.
And nothingness.
And you know what? Let's take a last look at King Solomon, because that's exactly what happened to him without the electronics. He was able to achieve the misery without the electronics that we can now achieve today so easily. Here, having given in, remember, he had to give in, he had to realize that what was given by God is a blessing, and what we rush around to amass for ourselves is nothing but busy work with no reward. Ecclesiastes 2, we're going to jump down to verses 24 to 26.
There is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen that is from the hand of God, for we can eat, and who can have enjoyment without him?
So, again, now he's coming back around to realizing that God does play a very, very important role in life. Let's continue verse 26.
For to a person who is good in his sight, he has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, while to the sinner he has given the task of gathering and collecting, so that he may give to one who is good in God's sight. This, too, is vanity and striving after wind.
So Solomon still is still got that confusion about him, but at least he's begun to, again, acknowledge God.
Right.
And it's a sad state of affairs. I mean, Solomon is going to be king, and the thing he asks God for is wisdom. And he gets it. And over time, because of the great power and glory afforded to him as king, he decides that he is so wise that he would test himself.
He thought he could handle all these pleasures.
So in retrospect, to ask for wisdom is wonderful, but to ask for wisdom with humility is more important.
Absolutely.
Because that's how things get put into place. And Jonathan, one last quick thing about my dad, he passed away this past Wednesday. And you know, as I knew he was dying at this past week, and I began to think about just what he represented. And so I wrote a short couple-page allegory about the road signs in our lives and how there are certain people in our lives that, you know, a road sign on the highway, you see that road sign and you drive past it, you know what it says,
mm-hmm.
and it just kind of reminds you,
yep.
and you take it for granted. Until, have you ever driven through a snowstorm that was so bad, your sense of direction is off?
Yeah, you don't know where you are
right.
on that road.
Especially if it's dark.
Sure, sure.
And then you look for the road sign, because now you're having trauma in
you
your life.
You need a marker.
Exactly. And when you see the road sign, you say, okay, now I can get home. And to me, my dad was one of those kind of people, and there's lots of people in our lives that are road signs that sometimes we just take for granted, but what they're telling us is wise, it's important, and it's directional. And we need to learn from that. And I think we'll probably put that allegory of the road sign in the Rewind full edition bonus material as well
at christianquestions.com.
So again, and you know, it's a tribute to my dad and those like him who lived lives of dedication beyond the grasp of the selfie mentality.
Nice.
So let's get back to basics, Jonathan. James 4:6-10.
But he gives a greater grace, therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you.
See, this is the opposite action from the pride of life. Remember back in the first segment of the program?
Oh, yes.
This is the opposite action from, I'll take another selfie. It's completely opposite, because it's talking about God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Mm-hmm.
So, if that's the case, what should you do?
Be humble.
Submit to God
in
humility. Doesn't mean you don't fight because you resist the devil, but you do it through submission to God instead of saying, I can fight this by myself. Okay?
Which we learn from Solomon can't work.
Right, right. Solomon was a dramatic ancient example of the selfie mentality of today.
He is.
And it didn't end well for Solomon. What makes it think it's going to end well for us? Let's continue with that James scripture.
Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom.
So that sounds depressing.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
It's like, wait a minute. So you're saying you got to be sad and crying all the time?
You need to put things in perspective.
And really, that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And again, the next phrase of the verse.
Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you.
So it comes back to humility again. See, we have to shake off the lethargy of double-mindedness and reach with intention for the selfless humility of serving God through Jesus. See, when we're double-minded, essentially we're lazy.
Yeah.
Because you're not committing yourself. There's a lethargic approach in our double-mindedness. If you shake that off and say, no, there's something important here. I need to focus myself on this. That helps us to leave the selfie.
Not the camera focus, but the heart focus.
Exactly. And that's such a perfect analogy, because instead of focusing on the camera, focus on the heart toward God through Christ.
Yes.
That's how we walk away from the lethargy of selfishness into the focus of selflessness. If we put our hope in man, in ourselves, what hope of glory can possibly exist?
None.
and you know, it seems like that's the way to go, because you look at the lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Oh, they're miserable inside.
Many of them are. And you look at it and you say, well, you know, how many of us have said, you know, if I only had that kind of money, I'd be different.
Right.
I'd
serve the Lord better.
That's right.
Oh, yeah?
and it just, see, opulence changes people. It just does. Selfie mentality is striving. It's reaching for opulence. It's reaching for a presentation of yourself that doesn't exist. And that only leads to emptiness and leads to needing to do another selfie and another one, because you're still not changing on the inside. You're just showing something on the outside. So let's go to another verse. You know, what if we put our hope in God through Christ? Colossians chapter 1, 27 through 29.
To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Nothing to do with selfiness there, is there?
No, not at all.
Continue.
We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mighty works within me.
So again, it's about him. It's not about me. You know, remember the soundbite where the lady who said, you know, the selfie's all about you. If you have your cute little niece or nephew, push them out of the way.
Right. Because well, they'll take away from your beauty.
Right. But this is putting things back in a right perspective, in the perspective that it's the beauty of God through Jesus. It's the beauty of his plan. It's the beauty of his purpose. So beauty is not about the picture. It's not about the photo. It's about the purpose. That's the difference between selfie and selfless. That's truly the difference. Let's go back to Prince A one last time, as he really helps us to put this whole selfie mentality and imagery to rest.
Call me crazy, but I imagine a world where we smile when we have low batteries, because that'll mean we'll be one bar closer to humanity.
Low battery.
That's right. How fitting is that? And he says, you know, What about a world where we smile when the battery is low? And why would that be? Because then the distraction is running out of power.
And we can communicate and have relationships with each other.
We can look up
face to face
from that little screen, that little electronic screen that we built our lives around, and we can actually notice the people and the places and the beauty, not in us, but around us. And we can fellowship and connect in a real way with actual human beings.
Wonderful.
Let's take the selfie out of our lives and make it so much more selfless. Our last selfie solution, Jonathan, is what?
Establish or reestablish the true north of vision. Does our faith in the vision of God's future override and obliterate the paltry vision of our own little lives?
And boy, does that says something, okay? What is your true north of vision? What do you just go back to? True north of vision. Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11.
For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
So again, the focus is, what's our vision? And you know, our vision is the glorification of Jesus, his name, his work. It's not about me. It's about him. And when we can see that clearly, then all of the other distractions in our lives can begin to go away. And Jonathan, just one last example of my dad. And this is a tough one to even talk about, but we were there when he passed. Mm-hmm. And my whole family was there. And we were in hospice. And they put us into a room because he was dying, where we could be with him, all of us. There were about like 10 of us there with my family, and we had a piano in there, and we were singing him hymns. And when he died, Jonathan, we had just sung the hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour, and when we finished the last verse of the hymn, right when the hymn finished is when he breathed his last breath.
Oh, wow.
And you know, to me, that gives a sense of the value of living a life about something bigger than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's startling to me how different that is from the world in which we live. Folks, we spent 2 hours today talking about selfies. We're talking about where our world has gone and what we've become slaves to. We've become slaves to the God of ourselves. We've become slaves to the God of image. We've become slaves to the God of presentation. When in reality, we can choose to walk away from that and become servants of the God of righteousness and compassion and love and mercy and justice and wisdom. And we can walk a life in a life that is connected to those around us. Put the selfies away and bring instead selflessness. And see how much better your life is. For Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, we hope you've enjoyed being with us today. We certainly enjoyed being with you today. Take to heart the idea of selflessness. Until next week, what do selfies say about us? What does selflessness say about us? Till next week, think about it.